You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, watch this year's NFL draft with the Cleveland Browns at the official draft night party presented by Bud Light at the Cleveland Public Auditorium on Thursday, April 30th. Doors open at 6:30. Don't miss live draft coverage, food and drink specials, player autographs, alumni appearances, and more. Free but limited tickets are available beginning Thursday, April 9th at 11 a.m. on clevelandbrowns.com. So that's tomorrow at 11 a.m. on clevelandbrowns.com. You can get tickets to the Browns official draft night party. Nathan Zagura, Andrew Gribble kicking off our second hour, and we'll go north of the border for our guy Cam in Canada.
Hey guys, I went for my run today. Everything's good. The sun's shining. I'm in a great mood.
Good.
Yeah, you know what? I looked at that depth chart today.
Yep.
It just keeps getting better and better and better every day. And you know, for that to be questioned today, that the offensive side is without leadership. Asinine. As for the Alex Mack comments today, you want to see the definition of leadership? What we saw from Alex Mack today is the purest form of leadership. He defended a helpless teammate when that kid needed it the most. And the only thing I would have liked to have seen attached to that is, oh, and by the way, Joe, please do not speak for me when it comes to my opt-out clause.
Yeah, keep exactly. Exactly. Cam, gotta love Cam. Always the optimist, and I like that. I do think Alex Mack showed some leadership today. Alex Mack could have not said anything. I'm sure he was probably asked about the comments of Joe Thomas, but he chose to come out and give comments that were basically incomplete, in contradiction with what Joe Thomas said, and I thought that was strong leadership from him. It is interesting, though, when the two guys that would be considered the biggest leaders on offense are both linemen. You need it to be your quarterback, bottom line.
And I think McCown is a guy that's going to win some respect in that locker room when he comes back as well. When they go with the players, I think that you always hear that from players about how they talk so positively about McCown, and I think that's one thing that comes around. And I do think an area where this team is getting a major upgrade in leadership, the position group, is wide receiver this year too. I mean,
sure.
Andrew Hawkins is a great leader, great veteran as well, but you're adding Hartline and Bo to that room. I mean, I think compared to the situation last year, I think that's the position group that has gotten the biggest upgrade in leadership over just the offseason, I think.
I would say so as well. Leadership, know-how, veteran savvy. I mean, you think about going into the season last year, you did have Miles Austin who provided good leadership. But last year, your top three receivers were Miles Austin, Andrew Hawkins, who had a career year last year, never had been over 600 yards. And then you had, you know, Travis Benjamin, Taylor Gabriel was your number three with Gordon out suspended. Now you've got Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, Hawk now in your number three where he should be in the slot. And that's quality. That is solid. That's a solid trio there. And I think the Browns can add to it. And I think they will add to it in the draft as well. Quarterback is a position that certainly there remains uncertainty for the Browns. We know that. There's uncertainty about Johnny Manziel. T.J. Ward said it best. They don't know if he can be the man, but we're going to find out. I also think, you know, you got Josh McCown. That's a bridge. Long-term, you need somebody else. Mock drafts now have Mariota falling all the way to 12 to the Browns. I don't buy it for 1 second. But Marcus Mariota and then the guys who were considered widely to be third and fourth in this quarterback class, Brett Hundley, Bryce Petty, were in the quarterback camp with John Gruden. We're going to kick it off with Gruden with Mariota. And Gruden dealing early on the Oregon Duck uniforms.
How about this? You remember when you came out of the tunnel against Michigan State?
Yeah.
That might have been the worst ensemble in the history of Oregon. I worried about you guys when you came out, four grown men wearing all yellow holding hands. I thought you guys were in trouble. So I'm watching Oregon. You got your yellow uniforms, your yellow socks, your yellow face masks, and you're getting smashed like a banana. Look at you. I loved it. I started rooting against you just because you wore these uniforms.
Rooting against them for the uniforms, that's a little bit tough. And then Gruden taking task with Mariota himself.
How do you stay so calm all the time, man? Does anything irritate you?
Nah. Losing does.
Does this bother you?
Does it bother you?
Yeah, I don't know. You're starting to bother me.
That sounds like Frank Caliendo doing John Gruden now. It's almost like I see them both like as the same person now.
It's so good. It's so good. I think Gruden, and I love those quarterback camps. I was actually watching this week, too. They had the Game Changers where they had Mariota. They had Hundley, Petty, and I believe Sean Mannion, who, you know, yeah, they say he's pro-ready. But, again, a lot of these people, these quarterbacks, they think they're kind of backups and long-term backups. Two guys, though, that do have the potential to emerge into starters down the road, Brett Hundley, who I've seen compared to Donovan McNabb, and Bryce Petty. Gruden was with Hundley asking him the biggest question about a guy like Brett Hundley. Can you play in the pocket?
Brett, when I watch you play, some of these throws make me think that, man, there's a lot to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, look at these. There's a big arm there, isn't there?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Are you confident?
Yeah.
In that you can make all the throws?
100%. 100%.
Hundley is a confident guy. That came across on the Game Changers. It comes across when he's with Gruden. It comes across in all of his interviews. He's not lacking confidence.
I mean, here's the thing I'll ask you. You might have a better answer to this. What changed with Hundley from his projections last year if he were to go pro to this year? It's just more information? Is it kind of like the Jake Locker effect, the Matt Leinart thing when they went back for a year and you just find out more about it and you can there's only way to go is down when that happens?
So what I think about what happened with him is that people were saying to him, listen, you can't be a pocket quarterback. You have to prove to us you can be a pocket quarterback, etc. He struggled with that and tried to do that at the beginning of this season and would stand in the pocket. He took 10 sacks, I believe, against Utah, was just kind of standing in the pocket and was kind of, looked a little lost. The second half of the season, he got back to doing the things that made him such a good quarterback, and you saw it. But it's still not the prototypical pro quarterback from the pocket. This is what he does. This is what he's going to do well for you. You can see it translate to the next level. There wasn't that. So I think that is what scared a lot of people off about him. I think that that's what started to make people a little bit more nervous about him. And so his stock has dropped. He's made some bad throws, too. Yeah. And when he holds the ball in the pocket, he holds it too long, takes too many sacks. He's not necessarily yet comfortable, and it's obvious that he's not comfortable yet as that pro-style quarterback.
And here's the different approach I'll take to looking at that. You wonder at what point did his coaches at UCLA tell him, hey, let's forget about this whole getting you ready pocket thing for the NFL. We need to win games.
I mean, it was the middle of the season.
Yeah. In college, especially when you're UCLA, one loss means the difference between a whole lot of stuff in college. I mean, there's just no room for error. You've got to win every game if you want to get to where you want to be. And that's where you wonder what kind of progress he can make when that's his only focus is becoming a better pocket passer.
So for Dane Brugler, this is from Dane Brugler's guide on Brett Hundley. Weaknesses: poor pocket awareness and presence, struggles to decipher and recognize pressure, drops his eyes early, allows defenders to disrupt his tempo, struggles to manage the pocket, stare down the gun barrel, especially with interior pressure, too easily rattled, doesn't play with consistent confidence in the pocket, needs to develop his internal clock, holds the ball too long, allows the pocket to swallow him. That's what I said. Struggles to reset his feet and his eyes once moved from his initial spot. Doesn't show much anticipation at this point in his development, usually waiting for his target to come open before delivering. Questionable processing speed with gun-shy tendency. Doesn't challenge tight coverages. Too methodical. Doesn't read blitzes to speed up his process. Needs to quicken his eyes and expand his vision. Downfield ball placement is not a strength, with most of his completions coming on throws under 10 yards, screens, etc. Poor ball security. 29 career fumbles the last three seasons. So he's a physical specimen. He's got the arm strength, the well-built frame. He can run. He can be an effective scrambler. But right now, the question about him is his mental makeup. And when people saw and knew he was going out to be, you know, that pocket passer, and he struggled even more, I think that's where the red flags went up with Hundley. Tools-wise, he's got it all.
And for people that don't read maybe as many scouting reports as you and I do, after you read that thing about Hundley, they're wondering, why is this guy even being drafted? You know, because it's
everybody's got their warts. It's a projection.
Yeah, every scouting report is just, like, loaded with that kind of stuff. And that's why, I guess, when you're drafting a quarterback beyond the first round, I guess you just can't lock them into that starting role. You got to work and develop them, I guess. The question is, who's more of a project, do you think, Hundley or Petty?
I think they're probably equal in terms of their projectness because they both come from that spread offense. They both like to be in the shotgun. Neither one is a natural. Petty's probably a little bit more natural in the pocket than Hundley, but doesn't have the tools that Hundley has at all. So it's just a matter of what you think you can do in terms of your refining. Now, speaking of Hundley, we'll continue on his time there with John Gruden. Gruden asked him point blank, and I'm sure Hundley's going to tell him he should be, but he says, why aren't you in the conversation with Winston and Mariota?
I just got to ask. I mean, how come when I look over all my notes, everybody's talking about Mariota at Oregon?
I don't know.
They're talking about Mariota at Oregon, and I keep getting it, Mariota at Oregon. And I watch Oregon, and they're running a lot of the zone reads just like you. I don't know. And what about Winston? He lives right up the street here in Tallahassee. Yeah. Everybody talking about Buccaneers. I know a little bit about the Bucs. They got the number one pick. I'm hearing Mariota. I'm hearing Winston. I don't hear Hundley. Why is that?
They forget about me. And I think I've done enough to put my name in that conversation. But, you know, fortunately, if they're not going to talk about me, I got to work that much harder to get them to notice me. And I think that's something that's always going to be a chip on my shoulder.
And it very well may be a chip on his shoulder. Another guy who's got a chip on his shoulder is going to have to make the transition from that one-read spread offense as well, and that is Bryce Petty. Now, Petty was also spending some time there with John Gruden, and Gruden looked at his tape and made some comments about what he saw.
I mean, you look like RG3 right there. What'd Coach Bryle say to you after that?
I think he said, you're one hell of a player.
That is the luckiest play in your career.
Come on, give me some credit.
There were a lot of things about Bryce Petty's game that you like. Big throws down the field. That one read can get the ball out. He's got the arm strength. But there are a lot of things that make you very nervous about his game. His footwork is atrocious. I thought last year one of the reasons I wouldn't have drafted Blake Bortles, footwork was awful. You saw it all season long turn into a disastrous rookie season, even though he had weapons. In fact, one of the interceptions the Browns had came because of his poor footwork opening up to the left side. Petty's got the same thing. Awful footwork.
Here's a question about Petty that I'll ask you. Does it bother you that he didn't play in many close games in college? Like, the majority of the starts he made were absolute blowouts.
It doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that I don't see a refined product, and I don't see somebody that I'm all that excited about. He reminds me more of a doesn't have as good of an arm, better athlete, probably worse decision maker at this point in his career than Brandon Whedon.
Ooh. That's going to maybe hurt the feelings of some Petty fans out there.
I'm not a huge Bryce Petty guy. I personally am not a huge Bryce Petty guy. I like him. I see what you have there. I would rather have Garrett Grayson than Bryce Petty because I think you can work on his throwing motion, and he's got better eyes, better footwork, uses his body more effectively.
Yeah, I talked to Grayson at the Senior Bowl, and he gave a similar answer. I asked him that Hundley gave about why he's not in the conversation. All these quarterbacks have that confidence, and even all the way down to Garrett Grayson, they think that they're the guy that can step in right away. Just like Winston and Mariota have been projected to be.
I think Winston is the one guy in this class that is a franchise quarterback. After that, I don't know that anybody is. I don't know that Mariota is either. I'm not sure on that front. All right, final one, Gruden with Petty. If I'm a coach in this league, I would want this, talking about the Baylor quarterback.
Picking up a receiver that could go three different directions in that run-and-shoot route running, and these throws are unbelievable. I guess the thing I'm selling to you is I want this bad. If I'm a coach in the league,
It's one read, though. So, yes, he's on the same page, and that's good, but he's got a one read system. It's pitch and catch. Get the shotgun, look, get the ball out quickly. That's what Bryce Petty did, and he did it very effectively. And I think Bruce Arians made some very good points talking about how these quarterbacks that come from these systems are just not equipped to play in the National Football League right away, and I think Petty certainly fits that bill.
Yeah, these receivers on these teams get so open in those offenses, and it just – you just don't see that in the NFL. No matter what system you're running in the NFL, you're just not going to have even maybe once or twice a game, have the receivers as open as some of these guys get.
All right, when we come back, let's get your phone calls, 216-578-0850 as well. We'll talk about Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, the difference in their comments about Johnny Manziel. We got a question about what that means for this team. We'll answer that. We'll get your phone calls as well. Coming up. ESPN 850 WKNR.